Blog Talk Radio.
And as the song says, we are all warriors. We will never dismount. We ride a tiger. This, we take no quarter. This is our land, and we will never, ever, ever surrender.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League Radio Show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, title of the show is the English Defence League Radio Show, Sleight of Hand. Once again, I've got Frank Day for the script and a great slide as usual. Welcome to the English Defence League Radio Show with your host, Jeb Spider Mitchell. And my wingman for this evening is Dave Agador Milner. Tonight we will be discussing government and media double dealing in their self-made atmosphere of double standards. while the Wuhan virus and white supremacy are cast as the bogeyman under the bed of the real threat of terror and replacement jihad from the Islamic death cult is downplayed. We will point out these deceptions and demand that the good people of the world be dealt an honest hand, not dodgy cards from up their repressive sleeve. No surrender ever. And let me continue doing that. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And that was written by Mr. Edmund Burke back in 1770. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. How true. And that, of course, was written by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. So without further ado, let me bring in my dear friend, my colleague, Mr. Dave Agadore-Milner. Good evening, Dave. I hope you're well, my friend.
Yes, a good evening to you, Jeff, and good evening to everybody in the UK. Hello to everybody in the States, and to everyone around the world, and of course, off Earth. Well, have we got a poop ton of stuff for you guys, covering the Wuhan virus, covering this this atmosphere, as we put it in the script of double dealing, double standards, all of this sort of thing. And we were discussing one of these issues, which we can highlight as far as double standards and everything goes. Just before the show, Jeff, I want to throw it back to you because this is something that I hadn't heard of until just before the show. So go for it, brother.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, as I say, I was doing what I normally do, looking at our Facebook pages, and something that caught my eye, and really, I'm going to tell you how it was, it boiled my pee, right? It made me very angry. This isn't a place, especially for my American listeners and worldwide listeners, is a place you've probably never heard of, but it's called Chadwell Heath. In Chadwell Heath, ladies and gentlemen, there's a little Baptist church, right? And what I saw today was the most despicable thing I think I've seen for a few days, and I've seen a few things. But there was this Muppet up on top of the church, the little Baptist church, ripping down a cross. Ripping down a cross in front of people around. You know what got me? I didn't see one police car. Not one police car. And actually, it's gone wild, it's gone crazy. People commenting, and, you know, I've made a few comments myself. But, you know, this, to me, is an attack against myself. I'm a Christian, whether people like it or not, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And what I saw has really angered me today, especially Sunday. And I think to myself, like I said in the chat, there was a little bit of chat going, and I said, the thing about it is, you know, there's this total dickhead ripping down a cross of a very old Baptist church, and no police. What would happen, ladies and gentlemen, what would happen if this was someone doing that to a mosque? Ripping down one of those things on the top that they've got. Imagine it. And I did say, imagine what it'd be like. You'd have helicopters flying in from all over. You'd have the SAS. You'd have police with their dogs. They would bring in forces from across the country. Where do we see this for our churches, ladies and gentlemen? Where do we see it? And this sort of thing is what causes anger in people. How dare people, and he's an asylum seeker, for goodness sake, why do we allow these people on our shores? If they don't respect our heritage, our values, then they should fuck off back to where they come from. Let them there. Leave them there. Excuse me for my language, ladies and gentlemen, but tonight I am fuming, and so is a lot of people out there. I know there are. As I said, enough is enough. So, Dave, I'd like to pass it back to you for your comments, mate. I'm sorry for my language, but some things like that, I just can't pass over. I just can't.
Well, Jeff, I think that people should remember a 34-year-old man who was arrested a few years back just for leaving a couple of bacon sandwiches at the front of a mosque. Okay, and that young man died in prison. Okay, he died in prison in the UK just because he left a couple of bacon sandwiches in front of a mosque. He was arrested and tried, and there was a big hairy deal made out of the whole thing. All right, and it was all because they felt that it was just this terrible attack on the Muslims in Bristol. Okay, this is where this happened. All right, and it really brings to mind what was done to this young man, that he was just basically allowed to die in prison, and at the same time, all right, you have this issue happening and this attack happening. It's not an issue. It's just an attack. Okay. You have this attack happening, and what do we what happens? Is the SWAT team out there? No. Is the SAS out there? No. Is even one lousy police car out there ready to arrest this scuzzball that took down this cross? No. No, no, and no. All right, but so much is breathed towards a mosque. All right, in a way that they think is intimidating, and you are going to wind up in prison and possibly dead just because the system forgot about you. And I'm talking about Kevin Crean here, guys.
Yeah,
this is a young man.
His friend's name
yeah, he's
funny.
A young man.
I mean, he's...
Go on, Jeff.
Yeah, a young man. Sorry, Dave, you're good to you, mate. Sorry.
Well, no, Jeff. That was the point I wanted to make. I mean, this was a guy, and all he did was what I said. I mean, he didn't even tear anything down. A couple of bacon sandwiches were left at that mosque, and
it was a bit of bravado. Chuck a bacon sandwich at a mosque, and it's as though the world is falling in on you because, oh dear, you disrespected the Muslims. And what we see today is a total disrespect of Christianity, something I've fought for many years, something I've gone on demonstration, I've talked about, especially at Norwich. All people who know me know what I'm like. And I will protect my faith. And I believe it's the duty of all of us to protect our faith. These are so important. The values and everything that we believe in our country, which is sadly going down the toilet. I just want to say that, Dave. It's just left a very bad taste in my mouth. I'm glad I wasn't there when this was happening. I'd have probably... not be talking to you this evening. I'd probably been arrested. I'd have probably... I won't say because it's intimidation and violence and, all the crap that they would throw at me. But I'm glad I wasn't there to see that. I've got short views on things like that, ladies and gentlemen, because I think it's so important to me and to millions of us across the world. What I see going on, the persecution of Christians across the countries, even in the United States, Christians are being persecuted. Jewish people are being persecuted, for goodness sake. We're all under attack by these ideologues, whatever you want to call them, and you got governments allowing them in, week out, and there's veterans sleeping out in the streets in cardboard boxes, freezing in freezing weather, dying on the streets, and their money all goes towards those that they're bringing. It's like bringing down destruction on our country and nation with what they're doing. And I will continue to fight and speak out. Whatever happens to me, it doesn't matter. I want to get the truth out. I want to tell you, our great listeners out there, what we're experiencing in this country, the way they're trying to take over, and politicians allowing them to. Not on our watch, ladies and gentlemen. Not on my watch. All the time I've got breath in my body, I will fight for what's right in this country. Yes, fight. Yeah, you lefties out there, we will fight to defend what's right for our country. So stuff you, stuff this cult of death, and God bless all the Christians in this country. Back to you, Dave.
Right, Jeff, and of course, as Jeff said, all right, this isn't the only example of Christianity and Judaism being under attack around the world. Okay, I know that in the United States, for instance, we had over the summer, we had one of the team lockdown lefty believers throw a bunch of nails into the driveway and parking lot of a church. And left a little notey note that said, yeah, okay, I guess you're going to stay home now, aren't you, you bunch of hypocrites? So we had that. There have been other things. Most recently, some of Bill de Blasio's goons have been seen in Jewish neighborhoods in New York, walking up and down the streets in the Jewish neighborhoods and poking their faces in windows just to make sure that Jewish people can't gather and study or worship or anything like that. And de Blasio and Andrew Cuomo both coming out and said, oh, no, if you don't obey the rules, we're gonna shut down your synagogue. And I was thinking, oh, thank you, Mr. Hitler.
Anti-Semitic bastards, that's what I call them. I'm going to use a bit of language, not because that's what I feel about people who do these things. They're anti-Semitic.
Yep.
They're anti-everything that we believe in, good people believe in. And back to you, Dave. Sorry, I just had to say something there, mate.
But let me give you another example of the double standard here. I mean, these stories are just popping up in our face. This is one that I saw a while back, but I didn't bring it to the show. We don't have a sound clip for it, but I'll just read some of it. This is from the 12th of this month, all right? And it's off of Breitbart. We're going to have a few things off of Breitbart today, but this one, okay, listen to this, guys. Open knowledge in the community, all right, that hundreds, Huddlesfield Mosque is breaking COVID rules, claims worshiper. So one of their own worshipers ratted them out. Okay, but my guess is that this is still going on, guys. While in the town that Jeff was talking about, somebody was ripping down a cross from a Baptist church. I'm just going to read a paragraph or two out of this. Worshipping whistleblowers have revealed that a mosque in Huddersfield, England, has consistently skirted the China virus lockdown measures after it was shut down following two members of the mosque's management contracting the virus. Okay, that's their lead paragraph. A local source said that the mosque had held secret prayers services over the past week. Excuse me, guys. All right, back to it. Despite management's claims that the mosque was shut after one worshiper died of coronavirus and a member of the management has been hospitalized with the virus, the source supplied the local Yorkshire Live news outlet photo and video evidence allegedly showing the staff at the mosque at the mosque who are responsible for implementing a track and trace system, failing to abide by social distancing and mask requirements. The whistleblower also said that Imam Umar Hayat and other members of the management had not implemented proper safety restrictions. He said that the imam, as well as many other members of the mosque, had been in close contact with those infected, yet failed to self-isolate, adding that he was shocked by the lax attitude taken by the Islamic House of Worship following the death of a worshiper. And that's the story goes on, guys. If you want to go looking for it, that story is written by Kurt Zundelka, a good contributor to Breitbart London. So go and check that story out. There's more in it, but it just follows up what Jeff was talking about, the double standards that there we see today in society. It's okay to intimidate Christians and Jewish people, and oh well, as far as the Muslims go, yeah, let them go, let them do what they want, right, Jeff?
Well, that's it. It's what they've always done, to me, what I see today was the most blatant attack on our Christian churches, our little Baptist churches, to see a cross, and the guy was hanging off it. He was trying to rip it down. It was still, well, it was half quarter standing, but basically he pulled it down. And I wonder who's videoing it. Was it on purpose? Was this done on purpose to show? Because there was there's a lot of them in Chadwell Heath, just to let you know, Dave. This is a prominent Islamic, part of the thing there. So is it to show that they're the power there? And I don't know. All it's done is infuriated people like me. Maybe that's what it's all about, intimidating, showing this sort of thing. And then you hear yesterday or the day before, wasn't it, Dave, that guy that was decapitated on the streets of Paris. Is it all tied in? It just makes you wonder, what is this? Is this an insurrection of them showing their true power? Because if it is, and this is a warning to you all out there, don't you think that you will prevail in a good people's country? Whatever you do, whatever you try, whatever governments are put there to protect you, there'll come a time where no government can protect what's going on. And there will be a response, hypothetically speaking, because I know how they listen in to what I have to say, and we know how things are. I'm just saying that the people are now really fed up with these lockdowns, and then people who go into these mosques allowed to do what they like, as though they are the new, the special ones. In my eyes, there's no one special. No one is special. Everybody's the same. But not under the laws of 2020 in the United Kingdom. Not now. But I always believe, I'm an optimist, I believe there's a reasoning behind it. And when you have someone like Boris Johnson, and it jumped out at me what I see, bringing in some sort of draconian laws if people disobey the government. Do you hear this, agent? Draconian laws if people disobey the laws of this lockdown crap. That calls for insurrection. You do that, you threaten people, you got to know exactly what this blueprint is, Dave. I've seen it, I know it is. What they do is they section postcodes. They put the army there, and no one in, no one out. Anybody tries to get through, they will use force to stop them. I've seen it. I know what it is. We all know. We're not stupid people. We know what you're trying to do. All this about power, isn't it? Hey, hey, Boris. Hey, you and your Muppets out there. Don't you think we know what you're doing? Don't you think we got people who know exactly what you're doing? And don't think you will get away with it. Don't care who you are, what you are, you will not get away with it. The people will speak. They'll have their day. And you, and most of you, will come to be accountable. That's all I'm going to say. Dave, I just want to say that because I'm absolutely furious today. That just pissed me off with that Muppet doing that to that church cross. But you die, I'll blow me temper tonight.
Yeah, Jeff. Well, honestly, it's a good thing to blow your temper at, you know. And I hope everybody in the United States is listening, all right, because this is exactly the sort of thing that you're going to get if Biden wins, okay? Just to let you know that real quick, okay? That will happen, all right? And let's just move on because we've got more examples of this, and this is even eating into Brexit, my brothers and sisters in the UK. This is eating into Brexit, which is very important, and that's why, I'm going to ask Jeff, if you want to check the chat room to see if anybody is in there. I've got a thing to play.
Yeah, I will do, Doug. It's quite a lot. No, I'm surprised. I thought we was going to have some people turning up, but, yeah, people got other things to do in their lives, haven't they, you know, but can't always make it. But, no, it's quiet at the moment, mate. Back to you, Dave.
Cool. All right. Well, if you want to get into the chat, just go to blogtalkradio.com. We podcast live Thursdays and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. in the UK and 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States. You want to reach us, okay, and get in the chat, go to blogtalkradio.com and look for the white top center search box. Type in English Defense League Radio Show. Follow the links, and if you're registered with Blog Talk Radio, you can get into the chat. But for now, we're going to play something here that was done on the 16th from the We Got a Problem guy. And yes, this double standards, this nonsense is beginning to eat into Brexit. And there are some other things that could be kind of dodgy going on with that. So I'm going to go ahead and play this. You guys, this is about 9 minutes long, or 8.5 minutes long. You guys are listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Right, so Brexit is back in the news, and in credit to Boris Johnson, as of yet, it is the only thing he has done that the people actually want in the last 11 months. Of course, he could still sell us out, but until he does, he gets credit for it. In fact, it's about all he gets credit for, because not once have they done any of the things that they said they would do, as we all know. In fact, in most cases, they have done the complete opposite. Take pretty piss poor Patel, for instance, with her going to shut the borders and all that talk, when record numbers have actually arrived, and they pay Serco like £10 billion to stick them in hotels or army barracks around the country, while buying them mobile phones to send for their entire family to join them. You can also think back to the protest in London and their appeasement of BLM, while they send the riot police to attack the working class who were trying to defend our statues or our borders because the powers that be refused to do it. But just as importantly, if not more so, the complete destruction of our liberty and the economy this year. We certainly didn't vote for Brexit so it could help fix the current destruction that is happening to our economy. And as I've said before, I support and hope for criminal investigations into these liars because of their willful destruction of this country, in my eyes, is treason. But back on Brexit, which is their sole shining light in a shower of shit, Boris Johnson gave a speech and failed to answer a question on it, which we can see here.
But also talking about Brexit, and he has warned that the UK should get ready for a no-deal style Brexit in Australia type situation, saying that the EU have refused to negotiate. Let's listen in now to the Prime Minister.
From the outset, we were totally clear that we wanted nothing more complicated than a Canada-style relationship based on friendship and free trade. To judge by the latest EU summit in Brussels, that won't work for our EU partners. They want the continued ability to control our legislative freedom, our fisheries, in a way that is completely unacceptable to an independent country. And since we have only 10 weeks until the end of the transition period on January the 1st, I have to make a judgment about the likely outcome and to get us all ready. And given that they have refused to negotiate seriously for much of the last few months, and given that this summit appears explicitly to rule out a Canada-style deal, I've concluded that we should get ready for January the 1st with arrangements that are more like Australia's, based on simple principles of global free trade. And we can do it, because we always knew that there would be change on January the 1st, whatever type of relationship we had. And so now is the time for our businesses to get ready, and for our hauliers to get ready, for travellers to get ready. And of course, we're willing to discuss the practicalities with our friends, where a lot of progress has already been made, by the way, on such issues as social security and aviation, nuclear cooperation, and so on. But for whatever reason, it's clear from the summit that after 45 years of membership, they are not willing, unless there's some fundamental change of approach, to offer this country the same terms as Canada. And so with high hearts and with complete confidence, we will prepare to embrace the alternative, and we will prosper mightily as an independent, free-trading nation, controlling our own borders, our fisheries, and setting our own laws. And in the meantime, the government will, of course, be focusing on tackling COVID and building back better so that 2021 is a year of recovery and renewal. Thank you very much.
Now, as you heard there, he did say we are leaving, which he has been saying since day one, so that really is nothing new. He also said that we would leave on an Australian-style Brexit if not, but he stopped far short of saying we are leaving on a WTO or no-deal Brexit right now, which obviously is what I wanted him to do. To me, it looks like they are just kicking the can down the road yet again. If the EU have refused to budge, then they are not acting in good faith, because what they want is ridiculous in a free trade agreement. So in my mind, you simply scrap the withdrawal agreement and away we go. But no, he literally states that if they come back with some changes, then a deal is still on. So essentially, we are in the same boat we was in yesterday, last week, or indeed last month. Now, of course, he could just take us out with a WTO Brexit come December, but he could also sell us out in the same way. Let's be honest, he has hardly been the Boris people voted for in the last 7 months, has he? It's 50-50, he sells us out in my eyes right now. Let's hope I am wrong on that one. But I really struggle to see anything he said in that which is not something he has said before and should be a given at this point, because like I've said, we all know the EU are not acting in good faith. We know they won't accept the UK having freedom. None of this is anything new. If we know it and Boris knows it, then he should just say fuck it, we're off. Now, like I said, Boris was questioned just after that statement by the BBC, because as we all know, he said months ago if there was not significant change from the EU, he would stop talking and start leaving yesterday. Here, listen for yourself.
You said that you'd walk away from talks with the EU about a trade deal if there wasn't significant progress by now. It doesn't sound as though that is what you're doing. Can you just clarify why you're not walking away?
Well, as far as I can see, they've abandoned the idea of a free trade deal. There doesn't seem to be any progress coming from Brussels. So what we're saying to them is only, you know, come here, come to us if there's some fundamental change of approach. Otherwise, we're more than happy to talk about, you know, the practicalities that I described, the social security issues, road haulage, and so on. But unless there's a fundamental change of approach, we're going to go for the Australia solution. And we should do it with great confidence, as I said, high hearts confidence, because we can do it. There was always going to be change on January the 1st, but it's becoming clear that the EU don't want to do the type of Canada deal that, you know, we originally asked for. And it does seem curious that after 45 years of membership, they can offer, our membership, they can offer Canada terms they won't offer us.
But you're saying they've got to come to you with some fresh ideas about negotiations. Are you saying you are walking away or you're not walking away?
Well, if there's a fundamental change of approach, of course we're always willing to listen, but it didn't seem particularly encouraging from the summit in Brussels yesterday and today.
So as you can see there, and like I said, he didn't answer the question. He just talks about the EU not giving in and how we will leave at the end of the year, which once again, we already know and is a given at this point. Now, while it is a good statement for him to make, putting the ball in the EU's court, it's hard to ignore the fact that it could have been much stronger. You know, like the strength he shows, trying to lock down our businesses and lock us in our homes to save the NHS, which until 2020 was there to save us, not the other way around. But then again, if he was that strong on Brexit, we would have already left, wouldn't we? Now, I will be interested to know what you guys think he will do. Will Boris cuck it and cave in for a deal, or will he stand strong and leave with no deal? Drop a comment down below and let me know what you think. And actually, I might do a live stream later talking about this and the state of the UK in general, and maybe the United States also. But one last thing, Boris, take your Build Back Better bullshit that you promoted in that speech and ram it up Joe Biden's arse, you smarmy tosspot. Supporting the same agenda as Biden, the kiddie sniffing shit weasel, says it all, really.
There is a pattern consistent throughout history of oppressed people turning on the oppressors. Slaves against their owners, the peasantry against the feudal barons, colonies, Mr. Verhofstadt, against their empires. And that is why Britain is leaving. And it doesn't matter which language you use, we are going and we are glad to be going. We're off.
And welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider-Mitchell. Jeff?
My thing is that it's not going to take a knee to none of them. I hope, Boris, if you're listening, you do not take a knee to these people. They've been spending our money all over these 45 years. Think about it. How much they owe us, really? We should be asking for a big, big refund from what we've put in. What does it work out? $55 million a day or something? I can't remember, Dave. Might be more than that. But that's a lot of money. And he's, put this right, his career's on the line. We want this to come through. Don't matter about Australian things and this. It's like still taking a knee. You don't take a knee to them. We fought for them. We liberated most of them countries that said he was squabbling with us. How dare they? So, Boris, stand up, man up, and tell them to jog on and get out, get this country out. Let's move forward. There you go, Dave.
All right, Jeff. Yeah, well, one of the things that, got to blow our own horn just a bit here, though we got a problem guy talking about Johnson's Build Back Better nonsense. We already highlighted that in a previous show we did called Boris is Biden. You know, it Build Back Better, that crap slogan is exactly what Joe Biden has over here in the United States. And guys, in the UK, you don't want a Biden-style Build Back Better thing. Bobo, you really need to live up to your conservative heritage. And there are a lot of it there. Yeah, there are a lot of MPs over there, Jeff. I'm reading in the news that are beginning to rebel against this guy's Wuhan virus, just draconian lockdown stuff. It's friggin' ridiculous. But I wanted to point out for you, Jeff, and for the listeners, one of the ways that Johnson could hose over the people of the UK, even if you guys do leave the EU at the end of December. Okay, but if you remember in that We Got a Problem Guy report, all right, he was talking about how, he was talking about how Boris Johnson was talking about how the UK was going to make its own laws. Well, there's one way that the European Court of Human Rights could weasel its way in. And, Jeff, if there's nothing in the chat, I want to go ahead and play another audio. Is there anybody in chat right now?
No, it's quiet tonight, Dave. Go ahead.
Beautiful. Brother. Okay. We're going to go ahead and do this here then. This is one I found from Breitbart, and I was very interested in this. This is from the 9th, and it's something you guys in the UK should listen to and make sure that Bobo understands that if he lets this slip through, even if you guys leave at the end of December, that it's the end of his career. I'm going to go ahead and play this about 3 minutes. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Boris may submit to European Court of Human Rights for EU deal. By Jack Montgomery on October 9, 2020. Boris Johnson may bend to EU demands that Britain accept submission to the European Court of Human Rights, ICTHR, in perpetuity in exchange for a Brexit deal, according to reports. Tasked with upholding the European Convention on Human Rights, ECHR, by the Council of Europe organization, the European Court of Human Rights is, unlike the European Court of Justice, ECJ, technically not a European Union institution, although in practice the EU demands that all prospective member states submit to it. And previous British governments have indicated to Parliament that they do not believe it is possible to renounce the ECHR and remain in the EU. The EU's demand that the United Kingdom continue to submit to the ICTHR as the price of a Brexit deal appear to further underline its symbiotic relationship with the bloc, as well as growing establishment recognition of public dissatisfaction with its rulings, which are often perceived as taking the side of terrorists, dangerous criminals, sexual predators, and illegal migrants against national governments and law-abiding citizens. The chances of Britain finally escaping the orbit of the European Court of Human Rights after the Brexit and name-only transition period expires at the end of 2020 now appear slim. However, despite a recent survey indicating that a majority of conservative voters want to see European human rights laws curbed, upholding the ECHR would be identified in the deal as a precondition for cooperation in the security area, an EU source confirmed in comments to The Telegraph. Should that stop, then the security cooperation would end. They added, a threat which is not leveled at other advanced democracies such as Australia, Canada, and the United States. A British government source, meanwhile, indicated to the newspaper that the United Kingdom remains committed to the ECHR and agrees that cooperation with the EU should be based on our shared values of respect for fundamental rights and for the rule of law, a heavy hint that it is prepared to give way to EU's efforts to interfere in the shape of Britain's domestic human rights regime. David Frost, the hitherto robust British negotiator who has replaced the controversial Oliver Raleigh Robbins in the ongoing Brexit talks, has also hinted that the Johnson administration may cave into EU demands that the United Kingdom remain subject to Brussels' diktats on state aid after the 2020 transition period. We're beginning a discussion on if it is possible to go further than normal in a free trade agreement and agree some provisions that shape and condition subsidy policy on both sides, Frost said. Follow Jack Montgomery on Twitter, at Jack Montgomery. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider-Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think of that so far?
Are we going to walk away from that, or are we going to be still involved yet? I'm still confused of exactly what we're going to do. Because that is a very important issue, isn't it? We don't want to see these type of laws that allows these rapists and all that and all these horrible things to come on these shores. We should have our own laws to restrict that sort of thing. If that means walking away from that EU commission, whatever it is, then so be it. So be it. We've always abided by laws. We're not going to abide by EU laws anymore. That's it. That's what the Brexit is. Well, it is. It's a break from the whole thing. I don't know if I've got it right or wrong, but I'm a little bit confused. I will say that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not 100% up on certain things. And it is confusing. When you hear what they're talking about, it does go over your head a little bit, doesn't it? Dave, did you quite grasp of what they was actually saying there, mate?
Well, Jeff, my impression of it is that this Court of Human Rights that the EU has is not necessarily carved in stone as far as agreements go between the EU and member nations. However, unofficially, they want everyone who is involved with EU nations to go by this court's dictates. And this is what I was talking about, brother, and listeners.
Yeah.
This is something that Boris Johnson could let slip in as, under the radar and you guys could find yourselves in early January being severed from the EU, but still being under the dictates of this court of human rights of theirs, which, of course, is completely ridiculous because the people of the UK know very well how to deliberate on human rights. They don't need some overpaid bureaucrats in Brussels telling you guys how to do your business when it comes to human rights. Okay, but this is a way that Boris Johnson, this is something that Boris Johnson could let slip through just so that he could get a deal at the last moment. And my advice is to my to all my brothers and sisters in the UK, conservative or not, because there are some lefties over there that want that do no longer want to be part of the EU. Jeff, you know this. All right, my advice to them is don't let this little provision slip through, because if you do, it's going to be by no Brexit in name only. You're not going to be in charge of your own civil liberties, courts, and things of that nature. And let's face it, Jeff, let's face it. You know, and I know, that a main reason a lot of people went for Brexit was because they wanted to get a handle on this situation with the Mohammedans and the two-tiered legal system where they're treated specially. Okay, but you guys over there can't say that openly without being put in jail. Okay, so that is where, in my opinion, a good deal of the vote to leave the EU came from. It is a beginning of independence for your country, and I think that this Court of Human Rights from the EU is a thing that you can't let slip through. Go ahead, brother.
I agree, and I think we should stay on Boris's case until he says, no, stop it. We'll go the way that we've done before. We don't need anybody telling us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. If we want to expel people in this country, they're doing things that goes against national interest and the security of this country, we will do that. So I think he's got to stand firm. And it's all this, I mean, how about people that's been going to be thrown out of the country? And there was a big change, something happened, and they were put back on the shores of the UK. This is unacceptable, and I hope he realises that we are watching very closely what's going on. We're not very happy. Certain things in this country we are really pissed off about, but that has got to end. And I hope he realises the only way that you progress as being a politician is do what we, the people, are asking. Common sense, common values, and all the things that we believe in. Not some bureaucrats over in Brussels telling us what to do or what to say. We are the United Kingdom. We're not Brussels. We liberated most of the countries. It's on our case. And they don't want us to forget that. That's the reason why they give us our deals. That's the reason you can't get the deals like Canada and Australia gets and all that. Simply because they don't like it, because we come and liberated most of their countries, ourselves and you, Dave, our good American friends. That's what it's all about in the end, Dave. Still Germany, still thinking that they've won the war when they lost it. Don't talk about the war. That's just me being facetious, Dave.
Honestly, Jeff, When you said don't talk about the war, that brought me back to an old Fawlty Towers episode there you are, brother. That people, that's why Jeff and I are brothers without a mother, because we were thinking of the same thing.
Don't talk about the war, guys.
Yeah, exactly. But in the end, and this has been said multiple times, with this EU, Germany didn't have to win the war. They just came around and did it non-militarily, and here we are. All right, and
we ended up building up their towns and cities for them, didn't we? Ourselves and you, the great American people, decided to rebuild for Germany, and we've been believed that we'll be having to go into battle once again. It is strange, Dave, that the good American, my dear American friends, had to fight for independence. And I can't believe that we've had to fight for our independence, Dave. It's hard to say, isn't it? What a time we're living in, mate. What a time to live.
Absolutely, Jeff. Yeah. Ironically, you guys in the UK had to fight for your independence from a European trading bloc, which is what Hitler's Germany would have become had they won the war. Now, we're going to switch over to something else, because in the script, guys, we mentioned how everyone is talking about how it's a huge rising problem of white supremacy. There's a white supremacist under every bed. There's a white supremacist, as you guys would say in the UK, in every cupboard. There's a white supremacist in every closet ready to jump out and get you. All right. And we know, we've always known, that the white supremacy idiots out there are dying out. There are still a few, but they're very small in number. They have almost no influence. They hate the EDL, and the EDL hates them.
They hate us. They would kill us.
No, yeah, exactly. These scuzzballs, are just objects of ridicule. Okay, but in the UK, people from the Home Office there, people from the FBI here in the United States, act like it's a big, huge problem. But there are some experts that have a different viewpoint. And Jeff, if there's nobody left in the chat room right now, I'm ready to play this next 4.5 minute clip here. Is the chat room clear right now?
I think we're okay at the moment, Dad. Hang on, just having a look now. No, it's quiet, mate. They're ready to charge.
All right, well,
the last 20 minutes, everybody rolling. You know how it goes, sir.
Right, I gotcha. All right, we're going
to
hit this
one. They're all fighting to get in the door, Dave. You know how it goes, mate.
Yes, I do. Now, and we're going to go ahead and go for this one here. This is another one from Breitbart that I found that was done on the 15th. And it, as I said, this is an expert in the field that kind of gives a different narrative to the one that's being spewed out there now. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. Check this out.
UK spy chief confirms tens of thousands of Islamists are biggest terror threat. But MSM hypes far right, by Jack Montgomery on October 15, 2020. New MI5 Director General Ken McCallum has confirmed that Islamist jihadists remain by far the biggest terror threat in Britain. But the mainstream media has chosen to hype his remarks on the comparatively minor threat from the far right instead. Islamist extremist terrorism, by volume, remains our largest threat. The Glasgow-born spy boss confirmed in his first public address since taking over Britain's domestic intelligence agency. It is still the case that tens of thousands of individuals are committed to this ideology, and we must continually scan for the smaller numbers within that large group who at any given moment might be mobilizing towards attacks, he said. Having someone on our radar is not the same as having them under detailed real-time scrutiny. Difficult judgments of prioritization and risk must be made. McCallum added, a warning which will come as little surprise to Britons familiar with learning that a given terrorist was previously known to the authorities, or in some cases even a convicted extremist out from prison on license. Despite McCallum's clear admission that Islamist terrorism remains by far the number one threat to Britain, mainstream media outlets such as the BBC and CNN chose to emphasize and often lead on his comments about the sadly rising, but comparatively minor, threat of right-wing extremism instead. This threat is not, today, on the same scale as Islamist extremist terrorism, McCallum had acknowledged, although he did say it was growing in that of the 27 late-stage terrorist attack plots in Great Britain disrupted by MI5 and CT policing since 2017, 8 have been right-wing extremist. This was all the encouragement some news outlets needed to sideline the far more pressing and, in terms of actual attacks, far more deadly Islamist threat, with the BBC not even mentioning it in the opening paragraph of its report. Britain is facing a nasty mix of national security threats, from hostile state activity by Russia and China to fast-growing right-wing terrorism, the new Director General of MI5 has said. The publicly funded broadcaster did acknowledge in the second paragraph of its story that Northern Irish and Islamist extremism are, also a concern, but it is not until paragraph 20 that it concedes that it admits that jihadist plots form the bulk of UK investigations. This is more remarkable for the fact that the Muslim population which serves as the most likely recruitment pool for jihadism is comparatively small at less than 4 million people. The anti-Trump CNN network in America, similarly, led with the headline 30% of UK terror plots disrupted by MI5 were far right, said security chief, an interesting reframing of the fact that 70% were not, and another opening paragraph making no mention of Islamist terrorism. The new head of MI5, the UK's domestic security service, has warned that nearly 30% of the major terror plots it has disrupted at a late stage since 2017 have been from far-right extremists. Similar tactics were employed by other left liberal outlets, such as The Independent. The Guardian, perhaps surprisingly, appeared to go a different route. In its coverage of McCallum's address, not leading on Islamist terrorism or the far right and instead emphasizing Russian and Chinese threats. Not mentioned by the newspaper on that score were McCallum's comments on what Reuters called episodes of hack and leak with respect to the 2016 vote on Britain's membership of the EU, i.e. we did not see any during the Brexit referendum. McCallum also confirmed, unhelpfully for anti-Brexit conspiracy theorists, that in the case of the EU referendum, MI5 was indeed investigating at the time and with others has since investigated possible leads to individuals who potentially may have been seeking to interfere in the referendum. We did those investigations and nothing of great significance has emerged from them. The major news outlets did not make any mention of the threat from far-left extremists, such as Antifa and the more radical elements of the Black Lives Matter movement, but nor did McCallum. Follow Jack Montgomery on Twitter, at Jack Montgomery. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
And there it is, folks. Welcome back to the Inspensive Radio Show with the host, Jeff Spider, Mr. Jeff. What do you think?
Well, that was really interesting. The far right and that. Are they classing us all as far right because our narrative is different from theirs? So on the left, they call us all far right. Is that the way we're all labelled and that we're all the threat to national security? I don't see people in this country, not myself, EDL man, going out there and wanting to behead people and rip down mosques and things like that. I don't see that. I don't see people doing that in my country. And whatever they... This is a narrative, isn't it? Do not blame the cultists of death. Do not blame them. Don't even blame Antifa. Don't blame BLM. Blame the far right. The far right. We're not far right. I'm not far right. I hate what you call the real Nazis. We...
Okay. Lost some audio there. Don't know if I'm losing you, Jeff, or if it's my connection over Skype. Not sure. But you are correct. We'll go ahead and just assume that people can hear my audio. You are correct about that. All right. And I found it very interesting the way that they're framing this. All right. The way that they're framing this is emphasizing the quote-unquote far right, and of course over here in the United States, emphasizing quote-unquote white supremacists. And I find it fascinating that, let's take a little tutorial time here, ladies and gentlemen. All right. The way people normally read a news story, almost everyone will start reading a news story and they just read the headline and maybe the subhead, and then they move on. Okay, and you can be well deceived by that. Like, for instance, when CNN says, oh, well, close to 30% of the terrorist threats have been from the far right, yet not mentioning that over 70% were from, the left and from Islamists. All right? And in the BBC article, it says in that report that it isn't until paragraph 20 that they actually tell the truth, that it's mostly Islamist terrorism that MI5 is looking at. Now, almost nobody reads the entire story, unless it's someone like Jeff and myself, and we want to put that on one of our shows or something of that nature. Okay. Most people just do not read the entire story. They should, guys, and I recommend that you do it. It takes a long time to do it, but I encourage you to do it, because that way the sleazeballs like the BBC can say, well, we put it in the article. Yeah, you buried it, just like what Jeff said. And Jeff, please jump back in here.
Yeah, no, good point. I'm sorry about that, Dave. I was on one there, and all of a sudden I got cut off. Maybe big tech are coming after me and shutting me down when I say the wrong thing, speak the wrong thing, Dave. You never know. We live in this time now, don't we? The technology giants out there trying to shut down free speech, freedom of expression, freedom of the press. Well, you know, we're not going down without a fight, and there's plenty other places we can go. So stuff you big tech companies out there. Anyway, your time's coming to an end. Yeah, it is. You're going to be broken up. You realise that? You're going to be broken up. Like it or lump it. Sorry, that back to you, mate.
All right. Well, and let's talk about that often ignored 70%+ of the terrorist threat. Yeah, let's talk about that. We've got a couple of things here, Jeff. And if you want to check the chat real quick to see if anybody's in, I've got one lined up right here, ready to go.
Someone's joined. I'm not sure who it is, but we've got someone.
They're just in studio, Jeff. Okay,
hi.
Nobody in chat?
Yeah, I see someone in the studio. Joined us.
I know someone in studio has joined us. Is there anyone in chat?
No, mate.
Okay. Well, then, in that case, I'm going to go ahead and continue with this one. This is part of that 70%+, guys. This is something also from Breitbart. I think it's something that will be very interesting to you guys. This is just over 2 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Greece. Migrants film themselves licking baby food in supermarket. By Chris Tomlinson on October 14, 2020. Migrants on the Greek island of Samos have angered a local mayor after they filmed themselves licking children's food in a supermarket as the country sees a resurgence of the Wuhan coronavirus. Police in the town of Vithi arrested at least one migrant following the publication of the video on social media, which shows a man picking up a carton of baby yogurt in a supermarket and licking the top of it while smiling at the cameraman. Yorgos Stanzos, mayor of East Samos, reacted with anger to the video, saying, according to Prototema, such antisocial behavior, in the midst of a pandemic, must be punished wherever it comes from. We thank the Greek police for guarding public safety and health. The incident comes as Greece has seen a new wave of coronavirus cases in recent weeks, with the country recording 460 cases on October 2nd, the highest daily number since the outbreak this year. There have also been several cases of newly arrived illegal migrants testing positive for coronavirus, including several who landed on the island of Lesbos in May. The first migrant to die from the disease was a 61-year-old Afghan national who had lived at a migrant camp north of Athens and was treated at an Athens hospital before he passed away late last month. Coronavirus quarantine measures are also said to have been the motivation for several Afghan migrants to light fires that ended up setting the Moria migrant camp ablaze in September that left an estimated 13,000 migrants homeless. The fire came after at least 35 camp residents had tested positive for coronavirus. Shortly after the fire, Greek politicians, including Greek Migration Minister Notis Mitarachi, labeled the incident an arson attack. Police later arrested six Afghan migrants, two of them underage and all under 21, in connection with the fires. Follow Chris Tomlinson on Twitter at @TomlinsonCJ or email at tomlinson@breitbart.com.
Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. So, Jeff, what do you think about that, buddy?
Well, I think it's despicable. Licking food, things like that, and I don't know. It's a tactic that they're using. I just don't understand it, Dave. It's just crazy, man. You know, it's confusing. It's just thinking, what the hell's wrong with people? But then again, we are talking about that type of people, aren't we, sort of thing. Yeah. But, yeah, of course, there was a certain number of them who died in that camp, and then there was a fire, an arson fire. God knows what happened to the rest of them. So you don't know if they... There might be a cumulative effect. That's the reason why you got this problem. I don't know, Dave. You know, it's just a worldwide problem, isn't it, at the moment? Excuse me, go back to your money.
Well, it's a bio attack. I mean, let's face it. That's what it is. It's a bio attack on the part of these Islamic migrants against not just the people of Greece, but the children of Greece. And I'm forced to ask, as I was forced to ask when I saw this initially, how many other countries is that going on, in? Is it going on in the UK? All right. Is it going on in the United States? And how many other places do these Mohammedans think is salubrious for them to make these kind of attacks in? That's my question, Jeff.
I think you make a good valid point there, because until we see some sort of evidence that that is happening, we're in the dark, aren't we, Dave? So this could be going on. This could be going on a global effect. You could be getting it in the States. We could be getting it in the UK, and probably are, and France, and probably in all of Europe. This is happening, because sometimes there's a pattern of this sort of thing, and then you find, oh, this has happened over in Germany, or this has happened over in Sweden, or something like that. But there is that thinking behind it. This is a plot against our civilization by a barbaric cult. That's what we see. That's how I look at it, and that's my view. Dave, your view, mate.
Yeah, well, all I can say, Jeff, is that, you know, it could be. This could be just the tip of the iceberg. But we also have attacks like the one that I'm about to play a story on now from Breitbart, from a farm fresh story from yesterday. All right, this one happened in France, guys, and it's depressingly familiar. Here you go, guys. You're listening. This is just about 3 1/4 minutes long. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Macron confirms street beheading and Islamist terrorist attack. Victim targeted for teaching freedom of expression. By Jack Montgomery on October 17, 2020. French President Emmanuel Macron has confirmed that a street beheading near Paris was an Islamist terrorist attack perpetrated against an educator teaching his students about the freedom of expression. The unnamed victim, reported to be a teacher of history and geography, is said to have been targeted because he showed images of the Islamic prophet. Muslims were said to have been asked in advance to leave if they might be offended, during a moral and civil education class centered on freedom of speech and expression. One of our countrymen was assassinated because he was teaching his students about the freedom of expression, the freedom to believe or not believe, Macron said at a press conference near the scene of the attack in Conflans-Saint-Honorin, Yvelines. Our compatriot was cowardly attacked and was the victim of an Islamist terrorist attack, the French president continued. It's not a coincidence if tonight a teacher was struck, because the terrorist wanted to attack the values of the public, its light, the possibility to make our children, no matter where they come from, no matter what they believe or not believe, no matter what their religion is, to make them free citizens. This battle is our battle and it's an existential one, he warned. Unconfirmed reports suggest that the terrorist was an 18-year-old Chechen migrant, and that a Twitter user posting under the username at Chechen_270 had shared an image of the teacher's severed head shortly after the attack, with the message, "In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, to Macron, the leader of the infidels, I executed one of your hellhounds who dared to belittle Muhammad. Come his fellow human beings before a harsh punishment is inflicted on you." The perpetrator, armed with an airsoft gun and a bladed weapon, was fatally shot by police officers a short distance from the scene of the killing not long afterwards, after acting in a threatening manner. Another 6 other people are in custody as of Saturday morning, all, according to judicial sources, from the Chechen community. The caricatures of the Islamic prophet shown in the slain teacher's class are said to have come from the satirical Charlie Hebdo magazine, which was targeted by Islamist gunmen in 2015. 12 people, including a police protection officer and a building maintenance worker, were slain in the massacre, which has been back in the public eye in recent weeks as a number of people believed to be connected to the crime stand trial. Just last month, a Pakistani migrant badly injured 2 people unconnected to Charlie Hebdo with a meat cleaver outside its former offices, as retribution for its decision to republish the offending caricatures to mark the beginning of the trial. It is claimed that the migrant's father told reporters in his native country that he was proud of the attack and asked the government to assist him. "I am asking the Pakistani government to bring my son home. He served Islam and we are a Muslim country," he is alleged to have said. Follow Jack Montgomery on Twitter, at Jack Montgomery. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
And welcome back to the English Fantasy Radio Show with Joe, just Spider Mitchell. Jeff,
there
go ahead.
You go. I think he comes from the same Islamic cult in Chechen that murdered them 300 Russian kiddies. Dave, sure, he's a part of that. But that's where it turns out. We will find out later on. But yeah, typical thing. The cult of death on their march again, doing an absolutely despicable thing to that teacher. It's unacceptable, as always will be unacceptable. Once again, on the streets of Paris, a teacher was beheaded. Can you believe that, Dave? We live in these times. But yes, we do believe it, because we remember what happened to Lee Rigby, don't we, Dave? We remember that. And they were quoting verses out of the Quran when they're standing with bloody knives in their hands. Yeah, we remember, don't we? That's you, bro.
Yeah, we do. We remember that, and we remember, a nice lady in Oklahoma who was beheaded as well. And the moment she was, the place was surrounded by Mohammedans, saying that they want justice, but not for the lady who was beheaded. Yeah, I mean, this is the death cult, as Jeff puts it, that is being ignored by the lefty press and by our governments. While they claim there's this huge bunch of white supremacists and far-right people and all this out there, when there aren't. Okay, this is, guys, you getting dealt a dodgy card out of somebody's sleeve instead of our government's giving you, dealing you the honest hand that they ought to be out of the deck. Jeff, if you want to check the chat, I've got one more. We've got two more here. But we want to swing over to the Wuhan virus now.
Actually, you've been phenomenal tonight. I've just got to give you a big, big salute, brother. You're really, really doing well tonight. Really love what you've been doing, brother. There you go. I've just had a look. We're okay. Snowing here, mate.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. You give me more credit than I do.
You know the guy that had his hand up? I did to go and have a chat. And he told us that we was overmodulating. He couldn't quite understand because we was overmodulating. And that was a strange one, Dave. What do you think? That's what he just told me just a minute ago before we left. Right.
Well, yeah, that's kind of strange. I don't think we are. We're doing everything normally. I'm doing everything normally on my end. I know Jeff
it
is.
It could be set
so,
up, It was nice of him to let us know, So thanks for taking me, so I just wanted to let you know that you was out the modulating. I said, thank you very much. So I wanted to let you know, Dave, that's why that gentleman left that. So thank you very much, Jack. Appreciate it. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, and we'll have a look at the archive. I normally make a safety recording, and if the archived version of the show, which you guys will be able to hear about 10, 15 minutes after we're done, sounds really horrible and overmodulated, I'll see what my safety copy sounds like. And if it's better, then I'll upload that, and you guys will be able to listen. At any rate, okay, we're going to turn to the Wuhan virus now.
That's you, Jack. We are looking into that problem. So thank you very much for that. It could be him. It could be. So once again, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Back to you, Dave.
All right, Jeff, thank you, and thank you to Jack. All right, now, as I was saying, we're going to switch over now to the Wuhan virus, because while they're letting these Mohammedans have their ceremonies at their mosque and everything and ignoring that, okay, you see governments all over the EU and in the UK doing just absolutely insane things. And I'm going to play this one now from Breitbart. It's 2.25 minutes long. Guys, check out this idiocy. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
COVID police, couple fined hundreds for kissing outside, by Chris Tomlinson on October 17, 2020. A couple in the northern Italian city of Milan has been fined €400 by police after they kissed each other in public, violating Wuhan virus regulations. The incident took place on October 9 when the couple, a 40-year-old Italian man and a Polish woman, had left their house to go out to a local restaurant. While walking hand in hand, the couple kissed each other and were almost immediately surrounded by police. Officers asked the couple a number of questions, particularly of the woman who only spoke English and Polish, noting the pair had different addresses on their identification documents, newspaper Il Giornale reports. The police then issued a €400 fine to the couple for breaking regulations that state people in public must remain at least several feet away from each other unless they are wearing a mask. The only exceptions are given to people living together, but as the couple's identification showed different addresses, the exception was not granted to them, despite the man showing photographic evidence the couple had been engaged for over 2 years. The 40-year-old Italian man has launched an appeal against the fine. The incident comes just months after police in Rimini used drones, ATVs, and a jeep to hunt down a lone man laying completely alone in the middle of a local beach. The operation was widely criticized by members of the Italian public after it went viral on social media, with many claiming it showed dictatorial overreach from the government, while others praised the man for his social distancing efforts. Other countries, such as Britain, have also seen large fines directed at those breaking social distancing rules. Last month, a student house party saw students served a £10,000 fine after around 50 guests showed up. Earlier this month, the World Health Organization, WHO, made a U-turn and slammed coronavirus lockdowns for crashing the global economy and increasing global poverty. Follow Chris Tomlinson on Twitter at @TomlinsonCJ or email at tomlinson@breitbart.com.
Welcome back to the English Radio Show. Jeff Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think?
Tyrannical. That's all I'll say. This is tyrannical. You hear the flying drones, this, that, and the other. This is like living in Russia, China, as your president would say, China, and any of these type of countries, that's where we are now. It's disgusting. It's got to stop. But, Dave, I can't, but come on, they've arrested people for kissing. It's just, I don't know, Dave, I'll just give me a head a wobble. Back to you, mate.
Yeah, I know, Jeff, and their citing of that of them going using ATVs and whatnot to go after that one guy on a beach, all right, is reminiscent of what they did in California when kind of early on during this Wuhan nonsense over here in the States. One guy, one lone guy, nobody around him out there surfing. Okay. And they send a bunch of police boats and everything else out after him and everything, and they arrest his butt. And they're like, come on. Okay, this is ridiculous. But, Jeff, we've got time enough left
what
for this one last one.
What about the lady that was watching her kids playing football or soccer, whatever it was, and that cop has walked up and was arguing with her, and then started trying to put handcuffs on her, then he tasered her, but the world could see what had happened. And that is how tyrannical, I'm not sure it's got to be in a democratic state that this is happening, isn't it, Dave? But, yeah, just that's just something that sticks in my mind, mate. Back to you.
Yeah, well, that was Ohio, and the governor there isn't a Democrat, but he is a rhino. But we've got time for this one last item, and this again, concerns the UK. Now, again, the far right okay, and the Wuhan virus are the big boogeyman, as they used to call it, boogeyman, however you want to put it, the boogeyman if you live near a disco, I guess. But now, this is the next thing, guys, and this is the limit right here. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and play this because we don't have much time. This is about 2.5 minutes long, but check this one out. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Uni tells COVID isolating students to wait in their rooms if a fire breaks out. By Victoria Friedman on October 16, 2020. A British university had told its students self-isolating on campus with coronavirus that if a fire breaks out, they should wait in their rooms before evacuating to allow other healthy people to leave. The guidance came from York University's Health and Safety Services and was emailed to coronavirus-positive students earlier this week. According to the message seen by the BBC, students were instructed that if they hear the alarm, they should wait 1 minute in order to allow non-isolating individuals to exit. After that time, they should make their way to the nearest refuge, call the university's security services, and wait to be told if they need to evacuate the building. North Yorkshire Fire and Rescue Service were alerted to the instructions and contacted York University, which issued new guidance, though the BBC notes it was not made clear what new advice had been given to self-isolating students. An editorial from Spiked Online remarked, "The bureaucrats who drafted these guidelines seem to think that coronavirus is more deadly than fire. This is where COVID hysteria leads us. These students were essentially told to risk their lives so as not to risk infecting others with COVID. While COVID poses a tiny risk to young people, making them wait for a minute in their rooms or await instructions in a refuge, in the middle of an actual fire could be the difference between life and death. It seems being COVID secure trumps everything else these days, including fire safety," it said. The last time people were asked to remain in their accommodation during a fire in the UK resulted in devastating consequences, with social media users reportedly drawing parallels between York's guidance and the Grenfell Tower disaster where 72 people died. When a fire broke out at the Grenfell Tower apartment block in London in June 2017, firemen instructed residents to stay in their flats for nearly 2 hours. The advice was given based on the assumption that the fire could be contained in the flat where it started, but that practice was based on the building's original design. However, after the concrete structure was refurbished externally with flammable material, the fire spread, quickly engulfing the outside cladding. An inquiry a year later determined that residents should have been ordered to leave straight away. In 2019, inquiry judge Sir Martin Morbick said that he believed a prompt evacuation would have resulted in the saving of many more lives.
Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, words escape. Please go ahead.
It's just madness. Telling people to stay there if a fire breaks out. Come on. I mean, God knows. They should be prosecuted for maybe endangering people's lives. They should be done for that, Dave. This is dangerous. It's like shouting fire in a cinema. I remember there was a case many years ago in the United States. Someone, do you remember there's a big case about it? You know more about it than me, Dave, probably. That's why you're not allowed to shout fire because it causes panic and people get killed in a panic, isn't it, Dave? Something like that, but it's just crazy. If people, if they hear a fire alarm, they get out of the building. All this crap about COVID and all that. I'd rather die with COVID than be burnt alive. How about you, Dave?
Amen, brother. I mean, this is the ridiculousness right here of this lockdown hysteria, this lockdown culture that the left and, and phony conservatives have perpetuated. All right, it has destroyed our economies. It's killing our people. I do have time to correct a mistake that I made. I said that the worldwide deaths from Wuhan virus were 0.013%. No, it's 0.13%. But that's still only 0.1% and change of people who get the Wuhan virus. All right, and 800 people in the UK, according to the British, I believe it is the British Heart Association, have died from heart attacks and other heart disease illnesses and whatnots during these lockdowns. Over here in the United States, a university in Virginia has estimated that there will be upwards of a quarter of a million people, about 230,000 people over here, dead because of complications arising from not being able to get the care on time that they need to get and things of that nature from the Wuhan virus lockdowns and other other lockdown related deaths. Okay, not the Wuhan, other lockdown related deaths. Almost a quarter of a million people over here, and that's probably a low estimate. 800 people in the UK, and that's probably a low estimate. White supremacists and the far right and the Wuhan virus are not the things that you should be concerned with, and they are definitely things you should fight. Jeff, you got anything more before I do my finals?
No, you go ahead, Dave. You go ahead. Now, well said, brother. Well said.
All right, well, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. My normal show times are 1 p.m. Monday through Friday, and that's 6 p.m. Eastern, or excuse me, that's 6 p.m. in the UK. And I'm on Saturday at midnight Eastern in the United States, and that is 5 a.m. Saturday in the UK. I'm also available through Western Free Radio, and you can also hear me on the SHR Media Network. I'm also, if you want to get hold of me, all right, at least for the moment, I'm UBG Contact on Twitter until they kick. Until they kick me off, I'm UBG Contact on Twitter, and I'm also Dave Milner or Agedor, A-G-G-E-D-O-R, on MeWe, on Minds, Mumblet, Parler, though I don't spend a lot of time there, Spreely, that's a good one, USA Life, and I'm always Agedor on Gab. And I want to say to the foot soldiers and angels and everyone who is fighting this lockdown nonsense, people, they can't arrest us all. Keep on doing what you do. Keep on, getting out there and breathing the free air because it belongs to all of us. And finally, be prosperous, be blessed, and no surrender. Jeff, back to you. Take us home, brother.
Thank you very much, Dave. Yeah, I like to say you catch me on a lot of places, as I Gab, and a lot of places Dave said. So with that, we're going to say good night, God bless, and we will see you this Sunday. So, Dave, correct me, mate. I mean, Thursday.
This Thursday, people.
Anyway, guys, thank you for joining us. And also, thank you, Jack, for letting us know that there's a slight problem with the modulation there. So, thank you very much. We will look into it. And we'll suffer it out when we do our archive. When we do the archive, we will check it out and see exactly what's what was surprising there. So once again, thank you very much. With that, from myself and Dave, it's very good to listen to us. Take care, stay safe, God bless you, and no surrender ever. We're going underground. Take it away, boys.
Good night,
Well, there you go. We've just gone over our time a little bit this evening, but I come in fully charged tonight, especially when I see that cultist of death pulling down that cross, ladies and gentlemen. So any language that you might have heard, you must realise that things like that does really, really annoy me and really upsets me. So just to let you know, guys. But once again, I've got to thank Dave. Absolutely awesome tonight, Dave. Them little snippets we was playing was brilliant. Brilliant tonight. So once again, thank you for your work, mate, and the great slides and the great script. Dave is he's my magic man. He does awesome work. So...
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as Jeff takes care of business, I just want to say that you've been listening to the English Defense League radio show, and we are about to shut down, and we invite you to join us again on Thursday. God bless everyone. No surrender ever.
Thank you, Dave. Cheers. Good night. God bless everybody.